Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to all the distinguished delegates that have spoken so far, and we've taken note on a number of the questions. The detailed ones asking for some feedback, we will come back to you. Let me give you initial set of responses on the questions asked. The G77 representative from Afghanistan has pointed out a question on a series of questions, actually. And I think it's important to point out that the liquidity crisis did have an impact in 2020. And the assumption for the 2021 budget, as you will see, is that we will get full funding and it will come through as budgeted and as approved in December of 2020 by the member states. We are notified so far that the collection of the assessment of the member states has commenced already as of the first of the year. It usually takes, we'd say, a couple of months before we have a pretty good sense of the rate at which those contributions are coming in, which determines the liquidity situation of the organization. At the moment, the recruitment freeze is still on, and we expect it to stay on for the next 2 months or so until we get guidance from New York on if that's been lifted. What we are doing, since 91% of our budget is post, and the existing posts that are occupied are funded, we are planning our delivery as though we will continue the work of the organization, and the full funding will come through as expected. As for 2022, it is really quite difficult to predict what the future holds. But once again, until there is an articulation of a position of the Secretariat on the funding situation, early part of 2021, we can only assume that there will be full funding, which is a necessity for us to deliver on what is obviously well-needed mandated activities. The question of the lost opportunities, that also is a fair question. What we have done, and you will notice, and the DSG went to quite a bit of detail at the beginning of this morning, and the Secretariat has spoken to it in the course of last year, are how we have quickly, with flexibility, with adaptability, and quite a bit of panache, actually moved all our most of our subjects to address what is happening with COVID-19, not only in the immediate, but also in the building back, and in the trying to ameliorate and mitigate these things by the member states. And we will continue to do so. And you will see a number of our publications and research have been on this. And there's a list of close to 19 products that we have put out and which is even available in the public forum for this. And that is actually something quite well appreciated, not only by the member states in Geneva, but the member states in New York. And they have commented on how well the organization has performed on that side. So thank you for that. There's also a question on on the partnerships with ILO, WHO, and UNICEF mentioned as an example. We have had an MOU with ILO. We've worked with them quite a bit. It's also important to point out that in the fascicle, in the document in front of you, we make frequent mention of our work through the CEB, which, for all intents, is the chief executive's board of the organization, which is chaired by UN Secretary General Guterres, in which all these institutions sit and which they have representation. And so there's quite a bit of work. They get together twice a year, and actually the strategy and the vision of the organization also is shared there. So that is a very important part, but we will also be able to get back to you. I know there's already one particular case in which we're working with WHO and others on medicines, and we have one project in play right now. And we'll get the details for you on that one. And with respect to, there were specific questions on specific sections of the program proposal that's in front of you that you needed clarification. We also are right now in touch with the not only the colleagues in the sub-programs who also themselves are standing by and listening to us as I speak, and we will come to it in a bit. There was a series of questions asked by the EU, also referring to portions of information in the fascicle. The first one referred to what we meant. If you look at the question on paragraph 8D, these are the assumptions that we assume when planning assumptions that the outcomes will be positive, the outcomes will have an impact on the work we do. Depending on what comes out of it, if it impacts our mandate, then it may not go so well. But I think it's very important, something that one of the delegates already mentioned. The UNCTAD 15 takes place in October of 2021. this program plan, and the Secretary, Deputy Secretary General touched on it this morning, is completely based on the Mafikiano. Whatever the outcome is from UNCTAD 15, going forward will be reflected in the new fascicle for 2023. And if there are things that need to be included in 2022, at that moment, we will need to make some decisions on how many of those changes go in the 22 and how many go in the 23. And in both of those instances, there are avenues and pathways to do so, which we know well and which we can deploy to the organization as to how we do that. Perhaps I will give an opportunity to my colleague Jana if she wants to add. I think there are two areas, and then we can get back to you on the rest of the answers. Thank you.